KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. A recent investigative series by the Center for Investigative Reporting and CNN uncovered rampant overbilling in California's publicly funded drug rehab system. Basically, Medi-Cal recipients are bribed with cigarettes and pocket money to attend counseling sessions they don't need, and the government gets the bill. The reports prompted dozens of Justice Department investigations and a state crackdown that cut funding to the better part of 200 Medi-Cal clinics. But it's a game of whack-a-mole, as reporter Will Evans explains. He joins us now in studio. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So give us an example of how this kind of scam works.
Well, we found one of the main feeding grounds for this scam are these board and care homes for the elderly and mentally disabled, where people are they're down and out. They don't have a lot of family, formerly homeless, a lot of them on government assistance, and they're just sitting there and waiting for the day to go by, and they're eager to get out if they have the opportunity. And so the clinics will drive these vans that people it's so well known now that people know about the program. You know, the vans come by and take them to counseling whether they need it or not.
Who contacts them?
In some cases, the clinics will actually pay kickbacks to the home operators in order to get the residents up and ready for the vans in the morning.
I take it the transport costs also add into the cost of counseling sessions. How much is the government being billed for all of this?
Well, you can get about, it varies by year, but you can get about $27 per person for group counseling. You cram in 10 people into one group counseling room, and about double that for an individual session. And so they just need to bring in as many people as possible, as many bodies to fill the seats.
This practice is one of a variety of schemes that target board and care residents on public assistance. I'm wondering what other kinds of scams there are.
Anywhere where you can get reimbursed for by the government. So Medicare, Medi-Cal, people come in all kinds of medical treatments that I've heard. Basically, you need a person to sign up for it. If they qualify for Medi-Cal, then you can bill the government.
Isn't there a Medicare fraud task force based in Los Angeles? Why aren't they catching these people?
This one was a little bit off the radar, I think. Yeah, LA is well known as a hot spot for various kinds of healthcare fraud, but no one was doing anything about this until this year. We had this investigation come out and they really cracked down. Before that, you know, people were well aware of the problem. You had state officials knew this was happening, but not much was done.
Is it because, relatively speaking, it's a less lucrative form of fraud, or you have a group of overworked government bureaucrats who are going for the big ticket scams?
It might be. It's also a scam that isn't as well known. You have government focusing on wheelchair fraud, for example. That was a big one. Those kind of power wheelchairs for people who don't need it. And you had a crackdown. Now you have this scam and you have another crackdown. So it'll be something else next time.
What kind of enforcement is there on the state level?
They've cracked down quite a bit this year, shut down 177 clinic sites. But what we found is that, you know, one clinic shuts down, another one moves in to pick up the same people from these board and care homes who, again, are just sitting there waiting for someone to take them. And so I even talked to a clinic operator who had swept in to pick up some of these people, and he admitted to me that many of them had been clean for over 10 years.
Did you talk to any nursing home assisted living facility owners or operators about this? I would imagine many of them would be worried about getting caught, about losing their license to operate.
Well, sure. No one admitted to me that they actually accepted these kickbacks. I talked to the people who actually paid the kickbacks, but the home operator said, "Well, we don't do that, and you know, our residents are free to go to any of these places they want to, and we can't stop them."
Will Evans, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Will Evans is with the Center for Investigative Reporting. We've got a link to their reportage online at californiareport.org. It's against California law for police to prey on drivers until some arbitrary daily or weekly traffic ticket quota is met. You might suspect there's a quota in effect anyways, but it's difficult to prove it. A while back, a group of motorcycle officers sued the LAPD, claiming they were pressured to park in so-called cherry patches and write at least 18 tickets a shift, 80% of them for major violations. Officers who failed to do so or raised concerns about the practice were allegedly reprimanded, denied overtime assignments, and otherwise harassed. Yesterday, the LA City Council agreed to pay nearly $6 million to settle two lawsuits. LAPD's chief Charlie Beck said the agency does not agree there were quotas, but a large jury award in an earlier court case made settling, quote, the most prudent business decision. The U.S. Bureau of Land Management is hosting a couple of public meetings in Palm Springs this week that could set a course for the future of large-scale solar development on federal land. The California Report's LA Bureau Chief Stephen Cuevas has more.
The BLM wants input on the potential impacts of big projects in the Riverside East Solar Energy Zone. It's a 50-mile stretch of desert that spans from the eastern edge of Joshua Tree National Park to the Arizona border, land coveted by hikers, campers, and solar energy developers. BLM Projects Manager Mike Sintetos.
One of the things that we're trying to get at is what are some of the kind of cumulative long-term impacts?
Impacts across a mammoth expanse of desert that the U.S. Department of Interior says is key in spurring solar development on public lands in six western states.
The issue areas that we're looking at are ecological resources. There's a lot of archaeology out there. So we're trying to look across the whole suite of resources and uses in that part of the desert.
Donna Sharpede sees the impacts every day of a large solar farm 600 feet from her home near Joshua Tree. She says the projects can create blowing dust, glare, and other nuisances. The solar operator near her place is sensitive to those concerns, but Sharpede says people are getting fed up.
They're saying, hey, this is all we can take of this. If they close more of this desert off, there's not going to be anything left here anymore.
The BLM says results from its solar monitoring pilot program could lead to tougher rules for solar developers in the region and across the U.S. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas in Los Angeles.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, December 11th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org. Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as preventing network intrusions and data theft by hackers. Barracuda.com. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.